Welcome to Covenant's Pulpit Ministry. Covenant Evangelical Free Church believes that the Bible is the Word of God and that God's Word is vital for life-transforming Christianity. We trust that you will grow to know the Word of God and, more importantly, the God of the Word as you hear this message today. May God bless you as you open your heart to His Word.
Good morning, church. Before we dive into the scriptures, let me ask you a quick question. Do you like to confront conflict with a friend and address it and resolve it together? If this is you, you love to do that, can you just wave at me? You love to confront conflict and resolve it. Wow! But not many hands, Because most Asians tend to avoid the elephant in the room and sweep everything under the carpet, isn't it? Some of us learn that avoidance conflict resolution style from our elders or our parents, especially when we see them avoiding one another during Chinese New Year. Some of you may even prefer to avoid that colleague or that friend whom you have conflict with instead of resolving it together to save the friendship. Today's passage, the Pharisees confronted Jesus with a contentious topic of marriage. And then they asked Jesus about his position on marriage, and Jesus replied with his view. Jesus' disciples were shocked to hear of his position, and then the disciples said, maybe it's better not to get married altogether. Just avoid marriage. Talking about avoiding marriage, when my two sons were very young, I must say when they were very young, one of them suggested to the other brother, you know, when we grow up, let's not get married. Let's stay together, eat Maggie Mee every day, and watch movies all night long. And then the other brother heard of the idea, said, oh yeah, that's such a great idea. And then they were just like talking and discussing and laughing. I was at the side listening to all their laughters and wondering, what's the good deal about eating Maggie Mee every day? But that day, my sons landed up with a similar conclusion as Jesus' disciple in Matthew chapter 19, where his disciples said, maybe it's better to just avoid marriage, avoid all the marital conflicts. Today we are entering Matthew chapter 19, and verse 1 says this. Now when Jesus had finished these sayings, he went away from Galilee and entered the region of Judea, beyond the Jordan. We must understand that the region of Judea is a contentious place for the topic of marriage, because it was in that place John the Baptist pointed out the elephant in the room by calling out Herod's unlawful marriage with Herodias. Herod was so mad and angry that he got John the Baptist beheaded. So some scholars commented that the Pharisees intentionally asked Jesus again on his position on marriage, even though Jesus preached about it in the Sermon on the Mount many chapters before that. But they needed to ask him again so that Jesus could present his position and view on marriage so that Herod might hear of his view and get angry and kill Jesus like the way he killed John the Baptist. Chinese calls this jie dao sa ren, meaning they wanted to make use of Herod to kill Jesus. So before we dive in to read the scriptures, let us pray. Father, may you fill us with your spirit to understand your word. Help us not just be hearers, but doers of your word. Today's sermon is not easy to listen to and not easy to add upon it. We ask for your spirit to empower all of us here, on site and in the online space. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Today's sermon is titled Kingdom Family, taken from Matthew chapter 19, verses 1 to 12. In this kingdom family, some of us are called to be married, some of us are called to be single. But whether you're married or single, we are called to be kingdom-minded disciples who live for the sake of God's will, for the sake of God's kingdom. That is the overarching principle that we must live, whether you're married or single. But today's passage, we're going to apply it in the context of marriage and singlehood. So single-minded disciples should learn to forgive one another in marriage for the sake of God's will for oneness. Kingdom-minded disciples should learn to steward your singlehood for the sake of God's kingdom. Today we are covering verses 1 to 12. So for those of us who are married, don't run away from marital conflicts. Learn to sit down, resolve it, together and forgive one another. For those of you who are single, don't run away from marital conflicts for the sake of happiness. If God has called you to be single, do it all for the sake of His kingdom. So let us begin with the first point of today's sermon. Kingdom-minded disciples should learn to forgive one another in marriage for the sake of God's kingdom, for the sake of God's will. So let us read from verses 3 to 9 from the ESV version, chapter 19. This is what it says. And the Pharisees came up to Jesus and tested him by asking, "Is it lawful to divorce one's wife for any cause?" Jesus answered, "Have you not read that he who created them from the beginning made them male and female, and said, 'Therefore a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and two shall become one flesh?' So they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let not man separate." They said to Jesus, "Why then did Moses command one to give a certificate of divorce and to send her away?" He said to them, "Because of your hardness of heart, Moses allowed you to divorce your wives. But from the beginning, it was not so. And I say to you, whoever divorces his wife except for sexual immorality, marries another, commits adultery." Back in those days, there were two prominent Jewish schools of thought. The school of Shammai says that a man may not divorce his wife unless he has found unchastity in her. The school of Hillel says that a man may divorce his wife even if she spoiled a dish for him, or if he found another one prettier than her. He may divorce her for any reason or any kind of conflict. So in the passage that we just read, pertaining to verse 3, the Pharisees were testing Jesus concerning his view and position for Hellenites' divorce. And Jesus goes on to explain, if a man divorces a wife for any cause, any kind of conflict, and marries another woman, that is considered adultery, because the marriage with a first wife is still valid in the eyes of God, unless for the ground of sexual immorality. Jesus goes on to explain God's original design and intent for marriage that is written in Genesis, the book of Genesis, where God's will is for two become one. God's desire is for oneness in marriage. And the verb that Jesus, that was written, "let not man separate," was written in the present imperative tense. It means it's a command from God, that command to maintain the oneness. Not just a command to maintain the oneness, because it's written in present tense, it connotes effort, a continuous effort to keep working on the command of oneness. Keep working on it. Keep working on it. It is not just the day of the wedding where two people sign on the marriage cert. The whole present imperative tense conveys a command and a continuous effort to work towards oneness. It's important for us to note that Moses did not command God's people for divorce. He merely permitted divorce. Because back in those days, there were marriages that were defiled, so destructive that the only way was a divorce. Likewise, in today's setting, there are marriages among us in our society, in our kingdom family, that has abuse, violence, severe neglect, abandonment. There are no signs of repentance from that spouse. And the scripture calls this hardness of heart. There's a deep stubbornness, hardness of heart, no signs of repentance from the spouse, and there is no choice but to opt for divorce, especially when there's violence, abuse, severe neglect, and abandonment. So today I want to lovingly say this to our kingdom family, our church family. Don't be quick to judge someone who is going through divorce or someone who has divorced, because you really do not know the family situation. However, if your spouse has fallen in sin and wants to return, wants to repent, and wants to reconcile, you should work towards forgiveness and reconciliation. Scholar Grant Osborne highlights this. When something like immorality occurs within marriage, that does not mean divorce is mandated. Rather, repentance and reconciliation through forgiveness should be sought first. So some of you may be wondering, why forgiveness? Where does it come from in verses 1 to 12? Verses 1 to 12 didn't tell us about forgiveness. The whole concept of forgiveness is a few verses before chapter 19. Last week's sermon, when Peter asked Jesus, how many times should one forgive one another? And Jesus said, unlimited times, in the context of relationship, and that includes marriage. So whether is it conflict with a spouse, with a friend, with a colleague, God desires reconciliation and forgiveness. God wants his mature and kingdom-minded disciples to work towards reconciliation through forgiveness. And that's why kingdom-minded disciples should learn to forgive one another for the sake of God's will of oneness. Some of you may be considering divorce right now, whether you're in this space or listening to this in an online space. I want to lovingly encourage you, hold that option first. Run to God and ask God to give you strength to hold the tensions and to hear from Him personally. Of course, if there's violence, abuse, remove yourself from the situation as soon as possible and seek godly counsel. Hear my heart. The world is asking us to quickly get a divorce, to get justice. But I'm asking you, hold that option first and to run to God and to hear from Him personally. The world is telling us, get divorced, get justice. Look at the Singapore statistics published in July 2025. You will realize that the number of divorce cases annulment has gone up by 3.7% comparing 2023 and 2024. This is Singapore data. Just looking at number of marriage registered has gone down by 7% comparing 2023 and 2024, a bit similar to what the disciples were suggesting later in the text that we're covering. The disciples say, why not just not get married? Young people in China are even throwing parties to celebrate their divorces. The world is teaching us to get justice and get divorced. But today, in this week's Straits Time, 28 August, the world is asking us this question, what if we invested in saving marriages instead of normalizing them? What if we save the marriage? And today, the Bible is asking us, what if we forgive one another? Learn to forgive one another. God's will is for oneness. And I know you desire to forgive, but you're struggling. And right now, I want to highlight two possible inner scripts that may hinder you from forgiving one another. There may be more inner scripts, but because of time, I can't share all. Two possible inner scripts. Script number one. I will not forgive, for I deserve to be happy. Some of you are asking this in your heart. Why should I endure the conflict and the pain? Why should I deserve a spouse who is unloving and unfaithful? I deserve to be happy. I want out. I want a way out. I deserve to be happy. I don't want to forgive the person that has caused me so much hurt. To my brothers and sisters who are struggling with this inner script, I just want to lovingly share this with you. If you run away from forgiveness, you may not be happy. If you run away from forgiveness and choose a separate path, you may still experience some level of brokenness and pain. Why do I say that? You know, when God joins two persons together in one flesh, the yellow and the pink represents the husband and the wife. When it's stuck together in one flesh, it is together. And if you seek to tear the one flesh, the oneness apart, you may not get the whole full picture, full paper. If we go separate ways, you will experience a certain amount of brokenness and pain. If you think, I just don't want to forgive and I want to be happy and I want to lovingly persuade you, if you choose that path, you may not be happy because you still have to deal with a great amount of brokenness and pain. So you're wondering, so is there hope after a divorce? Yes, there's hope in Christ, but you cannot run away from a place of forgiving your ex-spouse. You still have to forgive. Whether is it staying in the marriage or opting for a divorce, you have to start from a place of forgiveness. If you think you just want to be happy as a motivation, I'm going to share with you, you will have to struggle with brokenness and pain. So that is one inner script that may hinder you from going all in to forgive one another. Another English script is, I will not forgive for I've wasted my years. Some of us could be married, appearing to be happily married on the outside. But you know deep within you, you don't exactly have the oneness that God designed your marriage to be. You're coexisting with your spouse with a lot of unforgiveness, regrets, and pain. You just don't want to forgive because you feel at the end of the day, your spouse has wasted your years of youth, your dreams, your entire life. And you're coexisting in a marriage, but you're not choosing to truly forgive. To my brothers and sisters in Christ, don't focus on what you have wasted in the past. Because if you keep doing that, you will not witness what God can do right here and right now and in the future. May I repeat again? Don't focus on what is wasted, has been wasted in the past. Because if you keep doing that, you will not witness what God can do right here and right now and in the future. And as your pastor, I do not believe your entire marriage is a waste. I do not believe. There must be some thanksgiving. There was this sister who reached out to me and she said she will not forgive her husband because she felt that the entire marriage is a waste of her time and her life. And I said, I do not believe. And I challenged her, right on my faith, my sister, I give you a challenge of 30 days. Every day, every morning, you text me with a thanksgiving in your marriage, a thanksgiving concerning your spouse and your husband. And she said, it's so difficult. I said, I know it's difficult, right on my faith. I do not believe your entire marriage is a waste of your life and the time. She started doing that. Every morning, she would text me. Some days, she didn't text me in the morning. She texted me in the afternoon. Some days in the evening because she just couldn't think of what to give thanks. But after 30 days, she was convinced that not entire marriage is a waste. There are thanksgiving, at least 30 thanksgiving, that we can come before God and say, God, I know my spouse is not perfect, but there are at least 30 things that I can give thanks to you for my spouse. And that day, she chose to forgive her husband and to work on it again, to work on it again. When you choose to forgive your spouse again and again, your heart will slowly become a dwelling place for God. Through the struggles of a broken marriage, you will share in Christ's suffering and encounter the power of His cross and come to know Him in a deeper way than before. Your marriage will become your loudest gospel message to your children and to those around you that can see and proclaim Jesus is truly alive. Dwell on this slide for a while. God is speaking to some of you. When you do it again and again, your life and your marriage will become a very loud gospel message, a very loud one. The people around you will know Jesus is truly alive. Jesus doesn't waste our pain. Surrender your pain and your inner script. Choose to forgive, and He will give you a new beginning. Kingdom-minded disciples should learn to forgive one another. For the sake of God's will, kingdom-minded disciples should learn to steward singlehood for the sake of God's kingdom. And let us go on to read verses 10 to 12. Verse 10, the disciples said to Jesus, if such is the case of a man with his wife, it's better not to marry. But Jesus said to them, not everyone can receive this saying, but only to those to whom it is given. For there are eunuchs who have been made so from birth, there are eunuchs who have been made eunuchs by men, and there are eunuchs who have been made eunuchs themselves eunuchs for the sake of God's kingdom. Let the one who is able to receive this, receive it. What the disciples are saying is that if one had to be stuck with an unhappy marriage, it's better not to get married. We must understand that back in those days, mainstream Judaism regard marriage and fathering of children as a religious duty. And that's why people back then get married very early, in the early 20s. So for the disciples to suggest not getting married, to go against the norm, they must not do it for their own happiness. They must do it for the sake of God's kingdom. That's why Jesus goes on to explain three types of eunuchs. First type is made by birth. Second, made by men. And third, is they themselves choose to be set apart, all for the sake of God's kingdom. And whoever has this gift of celibacy, like Jesus himself, must steward it for the sake of God's kingdom. Today, God is calling those who are single among us to steward your singlehood for the sake of God's kingdom. Who are the singles among us? Some of you could be still waiting for that someone to arrive. You are single because you're waiting. You're still waiting. Some of you are single because, you have a girlfriend or boyfriend, but you maybe don't have enough money to get married yet because getting married in Singapore is quite expensive. Or maybe you're still studying. You don't have the finances. You know, you're still in the uni. You can't get married yet. Or maybe you're in a relationship but working towards marriage. Some of you are single because you just went through a divorce. Some of you are single because your spouse has passed away. Another group of you are single because you have chosen not to enter into a same-sex relationship because you want to honor God and you want to love Jesus. To this choir group of friends here, on-site or in the online space, I want to say I'm very proud of you. Singlehood is never a second-class status in church family or in the kingdom family. Back in the early church histories, the singlehood was very much celebrated. In a church setting like that, the single sat in front and the married sat behind. But due to Reformation, things started to change. But today's sermon is not to argue and discuss who is greater, the married or the singles. No. The purpose of today's sermon is whether you're married or single, we must steward our life for the sake of God's kingdom. But there are two inner scripts for our single friends that might hinder you from going all in for the sake of God's kingdom, and you must sit up and pay attention. Inner script number one, I live my life for the sake of waiting for that someone to arrive. Don't live your life waiting for someone. Kingdom life is not meant to be waiting for someone to arrive. One is a complete number. You do not need to have 1 + 1 to get 2 and thinking that 2 is a complete number. No, by yourself, 1 is a complete number. Don't live your life waiting for that someone. Because if that goal is that someone, you may compromise. To whoever comes and confesses his love or her love to you, you may just grab it. Even though that person may not have similar values and faith as you. Because your goal is to wait for that someone. Don't do that. Your life is more than waiting for someone to arrive. But as your pastor, I recognize your pain of loneliness. You are lonely. I recognize that. And that's why I want to lovingly speak to friends who are married here. For some of us who are married, don't just stick with married friends. Don't just stick to your spouse or your children. Expand your network. Expand your community to include the single ones as well. Who say the single friends should only make friends with single friends? Who say that? We are limiting their ability to experience community. We are limiting that. Single or married, we have the same goal. We live our life for the sake of God's will and the sake of God's kingdom. We can do life together and learn life together. As I journey with friends who are single, I learn so much from them. Their single-mindedness. Expand that. Include them. And for some of you who are dating, young adults who are dating, I want to give you a loving advice. I know you're passionately in love with a boyfriend and girlfriend. Every day you want to meet your boyfriend and girlfriend. To this group of young adults, I want to remind you, don't forget your old friends, your old buddies, your old group of girlfriends. Don't forget them. Make time to do life with them. Grow together in that journey. Don't just every day spend time with your boyfriend and girlfriend. Make time to do life together so that we don't contribute to their pain of loneliness. Just because you're attached, you don't abandon and reject your old friends. You remember them and you put down in your calendar and do life together. There is a second inner script that might hinder you from stewarding your singlehood. It's this script. I escape from marriage for the sake of happiness. Some of you want to escape from marriage because you just want to be happy, eat, drink, and be merry. Eat Maggie Mee every day and watch movie all night long. And with no wives to control. I can't help but to ask my husband, hey, do I control you and control your food intake? Like control you, what you eat at home? Then he laughed and said, you control me at home, I just go out and eat lah. I said, so brilliant. He just avoided marital conflict with me, you know. And he just... Our singlehood, your singlehood is not for you to eat, sleep, and be merry. It's for you to serve God freely and go all in for the sake of God's kingdom. You know, over the years, I learned to do life with single friends. And there was this sister in Woodlands Center. Her life inspired me a lot. She's single, no children, no other expenses that she needs to support. You know, for those of us who are married, our every year increment has to support the increase in family expenses, isn't it? Like children grow older, they want to buy more things. Then they grow older, they want to eat more food. Like my children are perpetually hungry all the time. I feel like just feeding them can make me bankrupt, you know. So for married ones, our increase in pay is to support family, the increase in salary. But when I look at my single friend, that sister, whenever she increases in her pay, the increase in pay is not for her to travel to further places for holiday, to enjoy more life, to have more high-end living. Her increment in pay is so that she can send and support more missionaries out into the nations to serve God's kingdom. And whenever I hear that, I'm so inspired that her singlehood, all the money she earns for herself is not for herself. It's so that she may support more missionaries out there. Another sister, a young adult whom I've been mentoring for years, today she's in the mission field. She told me, "Pastor Sharon, I do want to get married one day. I want to get married, but I'm not going to sit in Singapore to wait for that someone to arrive. I'm not going to sit and wait. I'm going all out for his kingdom. I'm going to serve him all the way." And I'm so inspired by my single friends, so inspired by their single-mindedness. And today, I want to encourage you, like what Peter Cazero said in his book, "Married ones testify to the depth of Christ's love, and single ones testify to the width of Christ's love. For the sake of God's kingdom, your singleness is your loudest gospel message. As a single person, you bear witness to sufficiency and fullness of Jesus through your celibacy. You're not giving your body away. You're not hooking up. You're married to Christ. Your whole body belongs to Him. Every day you choose to maintain that commitment. Your singleness stands as a counter-cultural and prophetic sign of the kingdom of God and to the church and to the world." That is such an inspiration. So to my friends who are single, steward your singlehood all for the sake of God's kingdom. Don't live your life waiting for someone to arrive. Don't live your life just for the sake of happiness. Go all in for Him and His kingdom. Kingdom-minded disciples should learn to forgive one another in marriage. Should learn to steward your singlehood. And when we keep doing that in this kingdom family, what do we see at the end of the day? In this kingdom family, when we keep forgiving in conflicts and faithfully steward our lives for God's kingdom, our lives become the loudest gospel the church can preach. In the end, our lives become a place for Christ to inhabit, hearts longing only for His presence. At the end of the day, Jesus Himself becomes our reward and our prize. As I invite the worship team, I want to give you some time to look at this slide. This is the goal. Whether we are married or single, we want our life to be the loudest gospel message. Whether we are married or single, we are going to do it together. That we desire nothing else except the presence of God. So don't focus on your pain. Don't focus on injustice. Don't focus on the unforgiveness. Our pain reminds us that this is not home. Our place reminds us constantly that the world, this world, is not our final destination. Our pain can be used by God to tutor our hearts, to desire only His presence, to burn for one person, and that is Jesus Christ. Our pain can draw us deeper to say that, "Jesus, I only want You as my reward, my prize, and my motivation." Right now, we are going to enter an extended time of worship. Because we recognize today's sermon and last week's sermon is not easy to digest and apply. We're going to enter into a 10 minutes or 15 minutes time of extended worship. I want to invite you to just be in God's presence. As we have the house light dimmed, I just want to invite you to just rise to our feet. Allow the Spirit to speak to you. He has a word for you. He wants you to go deeper, come nearer, come closer. He wants you to run to Him and to say, "I want Jesus to be my burning passion. I want Jesus to know Him and to love Him, to know Him and to love Him." You desire only His presence. Whether we are single or married, whatever that you're struggling, today is not just a marriage sermon. It's not just a singlehood sermon. Today, God wants you to live your life all for the sake of His will and His kingdom. And let us use this song as a cry, our response to God. And it will come back and lead us in the next movement and a segment of worship.
I just want to be a place for you to dwell, a habitation here that goes through well. I'll be the sacrifice, a living offering, a temple consecrated for my King. But come and make your home inside.
The wanting that I'm living.
foremost, I want to lovingly speak to all my brothers and sisters in Christ here. The Lord is calling you, go deeper. Come closer. Come nearer to Him. The song that we just sung is the cry of your heart. You want Him to inhabit every aspect of your life. You want His presence. You want Him. You want to know Him and to love Him. You want to burn with one desire, and that is Jesus Christ alone. And this is your prayer. And the Lord wants you to invite you to come forward. And we want to pray for you. As I invite the prayer ministers up here at the front, the Lord is calling you, come forward. We want to pray for you. We want to pray for you to be empowered. And as you come forward, as we sing the next song, just come forward and be prayed for. Today is not about marriage or single. As you come forward, we ask for the Holy Spirit to come and empower you. We ask the Holy Spirit to come and empower you, because you want to live your life, go all in for His kingdom and His will. So just come, because this is family time. If you are at level 3, come down through the stairs as well. If you are seated in the middle, we want to invite you to just say, excuse me, my brother and sister, I want to go out. I want to come forward and I want to be prayed for. So as we sing the next song, come Holy Spirit, just come and we want to pray for you.
Come Holy Spirit, fall on me now.
Just come. Come closer, go deeper. There must be something more, something more. Come and be empowered by His Spirit. Because there's no way you can live for His kingdom and His will unless you are filled with His Spirit, empowered by His Spirit. So just come. Even if you are at level 3, just come.
Come, Holy Spirit, fall on me now.
Desire to know you, to love you and to fear you. Create a thirst in them that they will come to you, the fountain of living water. That they will not run to the wall. They will not run to quick feet. They will let go of the inner scripts in their life. They will forgive. They will go all in for your kingdom.
Song
again, I want to invite you wherever you are, if this is your desire, kneel before the Lord and you say, God, empower me. If your knees are able, I want to invite you to kneel before the Lord. And if you can't kneel, sit on the chair and say, God, don't pass me by. There must be something more in my discipleship journey. I want more love for you, more fear of God in my life, more desire, God. Come empower me. I can't forgive unless you empower. I can't move forward unless you empower. I can't give for your kingdom unless you empower. I cannot let go of my idols unless you empower. I ask the Spirit to come and fill us, Lord Father. Fill us. We are thirsty. We are hungry. Fill us, Lord.
Love you.
If you are a board member or soul mentor, can I invite you to come forward to partner with us to pray for desire to burn with only one passion, and that is you and you alone. We ask that you draw us deeper, draw us nearer, that we may know you and love you, that we may know you and love you, that we may know you and love you. So church, may you arise and let us sing the bridge of this song, that we may know Jesus and love him more.
The one thing that I'm living for is just to know and love you, Lord. Whatever cost, Lord, all I want is you. I just want you. The
you had spent some time listening to God's Word, and we hope that the message has ministered to you. You can visit us at www.cefc.org.sg for more sermon titles. God bless you in your spiritual pilgrimage ahead.